So, let's go back to mortification. I want, he said to me, that all your things, even the necessary ones, be done in a spirit of sacrifice. See, your works cannot be recognized by me as mine if they do not have the imprint of mortification. Just as a coin is not recognized by the peoples if it does not carry on itself the image of their king. Even more, it is despised and neglected. The same with your works. If they do not have the graft with my cross, they cannot have any value. See? Now, it is not about destroying the creatures, but yourself, making you die in order to live only in me and of my own life. It is true that it will cost you more than what you have done, but pluck up courage. Do not fear. It is not you who will do it, but I myself will operate in you. So I received more lights about the annihilation of myself. He said to me, "You are nothing but a shadow. As you try to grab it, it escapes you. You are nothing." I felt so annihilated that I would have wanted to hide in the deepest abysses, but I saw myself incapable of doing it. I felt such blushing that I remained mute. While I was in this undoing of my nothingness, he said to me, "Draw near me. Cling to my arm. I will sustain you with my hands, and you will receive strength. You are blind, but my light will serve you as guide. See, I will place myself in front of you, and you will do nothing but look at me in order to imitate me." Then he said to me, "The first thing I want you to mortify is your will. That self must be destroyed in you. I want you to keep it sacrificed as victim before me, so that your will and mine may become one. Aren't you happy?" "Yes, Lord, but give me the grace, for I see that by myself I can do nothing." And he continued, telling me, "Yes, I myself will contradict you in everything, and occasionally by means of creatures." And so it happened. For example, if in the morning I woke up and did not get up immediately, the interior voice would tell me, "You rest, while I had no other bed but the cross. Hurry up, hurry up, not so much satisfaction." If I walked and my sight would run a little farther, immediately he would reprimand me, "I do not want this. Do not let your sight move away from you but the length of one step, so that you won't trip." If I was in the countryside and I saw flowers and trees, he would say to me, "I have created everything for love of you, and you deprive your sight of this delight for love of me." Even in the most innocent and holy things, as for example, the cloths for the altars, the processions, he would say to me, "You must take no other pleasure but in me alone." If I was sitting while working, he would say to me, "You are too comfortable. Don't you remember that my life was a continuous suffering? And you? And you?" In order to content him, I would immediately shift to half of the chair, leaving the other half empty, And sometimes, jokingly, I said to him, "See, O Lord, half the chair is empty. Come and sit near me." Sometimes it seemed it would content me, and I felt such delight that I myself cannot express it. Sometimes then, while I was working a little slowly and listlessly, he would say to me, "Hurry up, help yourself. For in the time you gain by helping yourself, you will come and be with me in prayer." Sometimes he himself would assign to me how much work I was supposed to do. Then I would pray him to come and help me. "Yes, yes," he would answer me, "we will do it together, so that when you have finished, we will be more free." And it would happen that in 1 hour or two, I did what I was supposed to do during the whole day. Then I would go to pray, and he gave me such light and told me many things, such that it would be too long if I wanted to say them all.